In today's episode, we have Suki from Two Buck Chuck Bride, who after one video ended up seeing a career shift to get her all the way to Offbeat Bride. And today she is sharing some really interesting perspectives on budget weddings and what we'd like to see in the wedding industry moving forward.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
You guys, today we have a guest who I feel like I already know because of the connection on Instagram. Welcome, Suki. I'm so excited you're here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
This is like super cool to actually get a chat with someone that we developed like a little friendship on Instagram when I was doing my Wedding Hacker Expo stuff, and she was building up her Two Buck Chuck Bride, which like, hello, I love that
it's handle. Best name ever.
And I was totally a Two Buck Chuck Bride myself too. So like, I feel you. Now meeting you was awesome. And then now getting to watch you have this amazing wedding and then actually go push against the wedding industrial complex and now take a role in the wedding industry at one of the most known, like kind of rebellious bride groups, the Offbeat Bride. I mean, it's so cool. It's so amazing. Can you share your story in your own words? Because I'm kind of like leading with the punchline, but go ahead.
Thanks for that awesome intro. Yeah, it has been honestly a dream come true. So Offbeat Bride started in 2006, and I've been following Offbeat Bride, like reading their blog since 2012 when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So I will admit, I've always been that girl that's like, I love weddings, like ever since I was little. And mm-hmm. I went to my first multicultural wedding when I was like 12, and I was like, I must have a wedding this epic. Like, so I've always loved weddings, and Offbeat Bride was just like such a fascinating like wonderland for me because I'd never seen mm-hmm. weddings interpreted in this way. And it mm-hmm. really empowered me to think about not just weddings, but like how I approach like my art and my writing and my life in ways that like are truthful to me. Maybe they don't fit like a standard track, but they express like who I am honestly. So I always wanted to incorporate that into my wedding eventually, whoever I decided to marry. And I just hope that whoever I decided to partner up with would be on board with it. And as we were planning the wedding, I initially thought, oh, I want to make like a comedy Instagram account about the wedding planning process. And it was intended to make fun of the wedding industry. Industrial complex, like, you know, those articles are like elegant greenery, rustic farm. And I wanted to like make parody of that, like super cheap Dollar Tree, plastic vase, something like that. Mm-hmm. And eventually it became a little bit more emotional for me because I started to realize like, you know, it is comedy, but there's so much of like my life going into this.
Yeah.
So it developed into a little bit more, which became an exploration of culture and money and traditions mm-hmm. within the wedding industrial complex, and specifically targeting an audience that, you know, was looking into low budget weddings, like that still wanted to, I love to say like ball on a budget and have a beautiful wedding.
Yes, babe.
Yeah. All about balling on a budget. And also folks who were just like underrepresented in the wedding industry. So I'm going to fast forward to my wedding happened. It was super awesome. It was very funky, as Heather knows.
Yes. And, beautiful and funky and fun. Sorry. I love it. There's a feature on the Wedding Hacker blog about it. From
Wait, is there really?
Back. Yeah, there is.
Wait, that should have been in the notes. I want to see this.
Oh, we'll put it in the notes, you guys. Okay. Sorry. Back to it. Go ahead.
So after my wedding, the pandemic happened and, you know, I sort of slowed down on posting on my Two Buck Chuck Bride account. But then one day I saw a TikTok from Betches Brides, which I love Betches Brides. I love that whole brand. They're hilarious. And I did a response video to that, sort of making fun of like the content creator, which is like, that's what you do on social media, right? Like you do a duet and you joke. And I also work in that industry. So I know like this lady's doing her job. Like I know she didn't believe any of those things. I know she was just doing stuff to create content. So I did a response to that video. that was essentially saying like, oh, I'm really tired of like cishet, like white weddings, right? Like I want to see more like underrepresented weddings. And then that exploded because I think Jamie, you actually brought this up in the podcast about wedding TikTok. The algorithm pushes it out to, it doesn't matter if they're in your demographic, your audience, or they're like completely, they're like Joe Schmo. Like
oh said. Yeah, everybody yeah. gets it.
So I got a bunch of Joe Schmo that are not interested in the wedding industry, that are not interested in like celebrating like diversity. And so it went like what they call negative viral. So a lot of people were like being super mean. And then that's how Offbeat Bride actually found me. Wow. And they were like, hey, do you want a part-time job?
Shut up.
Right.
Wow. I didn't know that's how that happened. That's wild.
Yeah. We had been communicating via Instagram, like messaging very lightly and stuff, like, you know, how you do, right? Normally. Mm-hmm. And then it was like after that experience and somebody had asked like, oh, where can I go to find like more helpful content like this, right? Mm. So I tagged a couple of my favorite wedding accounts and Offbeat Bride was one of them. I guess that's how they found the video. And Ariel, who's the publisher of Offbeat Bride, offered me a part-time job and here I am. So
wow, that is wild. What an emotional roller coaster. Cause that yeah. I mean, having something go negative viral has to be like a little bit overwhelming. And like a lot bit overwhelming potentially because it's like exciting, but also like, oh my God, why are these people so mean? The world is evil online. Sometimes people just say crazy stuff and hurtful stuff. And it's just a weird world online. And then to go from that to like, oh, but
this job
got the attention of this amazing company that I really believe in what they're doing. So, wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. The emotions behind that. Was it intense or were you kind of just riding it out level?
Initially, so I had a couple non-wedding related videos go viral on TikTok before. So I was used to seeing like, honestly, really stupid comments, but some of these were just straight up hurtful, right? Mm-hmm. So I sort of like, I was lucky to have a community on Instagram and in person that actually like got on there and reported comments and defended me and stuff, tried to like use comedy to sort of like diffuse the situation too. But I think ultimately where I am now, I'm super thankful that it happened just because, you know, leading up to Offbeat Bride, I was sort of thinking about like, I love this, you know, sharing this new thinking of the wedding industry and like helping push like this innovative, like new thought of like, what are weddings and how we can do them, right? I think that's going to evolve. Yeah. Next, especially after the pandemic, right? I think people are definitely seeing opportunities for more inclusion, which is so important to me, but I didn't know where I fit into that. And Heather, actually, when I got the job at Offbeat Bride, I emailed Heather and I was like, Heather, like, thank you for being like so supportive. And I just got a job in the wedding industry, but I didn't know, like, am I a planner? Do I write copy for like wedding professionals?
Yeah.
Like, where do I fit in? And then this was perfect for me because I basically get to do what I'm doing on Two Bet Chef Bride, which is like sharing, challenging folks to think about weddings creatively and be honest with themselves. And now I get to do that on one of the like oldest like wedding blogs in the game that's been around forever and has like just such an incredible readership that are so loyal and like they're always teaching us things. Like we're so excited to be sharing new ways of thinking with them about the wedding industry. So ultimately I'm just really happy that I landed where I am. And I'm still going to be posting stuff on my Two Bet Chef Bride account, but it's great to be on this platform and be surrounded by so many people that are enthusiastic to be challenged and learn more.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Getting your email when that happened, I was just like, oh my gosh, that's like the perfect place for her to be. Like that is where she was meant to be. So it's so exciting to see you get to that point. And I think you always had such a clear voice and wanted to share, you know, these things you were really excited about and hopeful for change in this industry. Can you share with us some of the things that you would love to see changes in this industry specifically? I mean, we're open, we're wanting to hear and, you know, figure out ways, maybe some of these things we need to work on too, you know, good to hear the feedback.
Definitely. That's a great question. I feel like, I guess we'll talk about money, right? Money is the big, like, you know, trigger word when it comes to weddings. And I think actually a lot of vendors are working towards explaining that so that clients can have a better understanding of what that looks like and what that means. But I think that those conversations about pricing and money seem to be happening in like a vacuum. It's happening with other wedding professionals and it's not really getting out to the clients. And I know people are trying their darndest, but like I didn't learn about wedding pricing until like I started hanging out with like other wedding professionals, right? And understanding the why behind that pricing and like just the thought behind it. And I feel like once other non-wedding professional people can hear that, they'll be like, oh, I understand. This florist isn't like out to get me and my home, right? Like there, this is the thought process behind like why the pricing is the way it is. But also, and this is like a on a larger, like grander scale too, like I really wish that more wedding media would embrace different price points and different budgets. Yeah, I feel like people don't seem to understand that, like, again, you don't have to go broke to have a beautiful wedding. And when people hear the word budget or low budget, they immediately think of like tacky and gross. And I wish we could sort of rejigger the narrative behind that because it doesn't, those are not synonymous, right?
Yeah.
So definitely I want people to feel more empowered to have the budget they have, whether it's $2,000 or $30,000, right? And still feel like comfortable and confident in making those choices. Cause I think a lot of people, there's a lot of shame with money and it's, there's a lot of shame with saying I spent $5,000 on my wedding and people are like, oh, it must've been very ugly. Like, so I kind of wish that we can abolish that thinking.
Oh yeah. I think we're both fully on board with that. And as someone who my wedding was around 7,000 to 8,000, I would not spend more now. And I have the resources to spend more. And I look back on it, I'm like, you know what? If I could redo it, I'd invite less people. I'd probably dial it back even more because, and that's, you know, almost 12 years into marriage. I look back and I'm like, the people who've stuck with us this whole time, consistently been around, it's even more of a narrow group. And we didn't need to spend a ton of money to celebrate and we had an awesome time. So I like to share that because I feel like as someone's planning a wedding and they see it as I'm only going to look back and think this was amazing if I spend this huge amount of money, it's like, it's not necessarily true. That's actually not true at all. That's just kind of the nice to haves. And the really important stuff doesn't cost a lot.
Okay, friends, we are just going to pause for just a moment because we need to talk about this because HoneyBook is offering this ridiculously good screaming deal where for $1 a month for 8 months, you can have HoneyBook. Like you can start using HoneyBook. So if you've been on the fence, now is the time to take that leap and check them out. $1 a month for 8 months. That's $8. Okay. That's like 2 cups of bougie coffee. So if you guys are interested in signing up, head on over to theunionpodcast.com/dollar. D as in dog, O-L-L-A-R, because it's only going to cost you $1 a month. Go sign up.
So Jamie, what are your thoughts? I know you were
In
the same boat.
Oh my gosh. Like, hi, first of all, can I squeeze your face? Because yes, like that's something I get so passionate about and so excited about is how many people out there are getting married on a budget? My guess is a lot more people that are getting married for 30,000 and above and it's just a matter of not having eyeballs on it. That's the entire point of my whole YouTube channel is that exact idea is why aren't we talking about pricing? And I may not be able to quote pricing for everywhere, but like, I feel like vendors should be more comfortable talking about it. Like I'm getting so excited as you're saying all this stuff. I'm like, okay, because you're right. We are not serving a huge portion of the population that's getting married for little to no money, right? Like where are they being shown? Where are they being seen? And why is this not more? We want to make a more mainstream space for budget weddings to feel acceptable, basically. And so that makes me super excited.
I'm going to say I'm budget minded and proud. When people are telling me I'm planning on 10,000, I'm like, you do that. You're going to nail it.
You do it, babe.
Wait to see this amazing wedding.
We're so great.
Sorry, I got really pumped up too. Suki, go ahead. You had something to say, I'm sure.
Actually, so I was going to say, Jamie, your video, as I was planning my wedding, I watched one of your videos about like things that you don't need at a wedding. And I went into it feeling like, oh, this might be like pretty standard stuff because it's like, of course, like they're in the wedding industry and like they're going to say something that might be like, a little bit helpful, but that video was so helpful. And like, I felt like you were giving me like insider scoops, and like, I subscribe to your channel. I'm still on your channel. I feel like you're giving away like free information, which is great for everyone else. Right. So that was super helpful and really influenced how I budgeted my wedding moving forward, because they were so specific, particularly. And the thing that I pretty much need to tattoo this on my chest, the thing that you said was like wedding favors. Most of the time they get thrown away. Okay. Yeah. And you showed a video of like all these like wedding favors that like guests had just like left behind. Right. And like that all my life, I was like, I have to have wedding favors because then everyone will hate me. And then I saw
your video
and I was like, guess who's not doing wedding favors?
Yes.
Like $1,000 on wedding favors. So I tell everyone I know that's getting married, or anytime anyone's like, do you have any advice? I'm like, first of all, Jamie Wolfer's channel.
Stop second, it.
No wedding favors. Like do like something, like if you're trying to save money or something, like something they can eat or take home with them to eat.
Please don't tattoo that on your body. Like, I just feel like I need to say that. Like, please don't, or at least not your chest, maybe like inner arm kind of situation, but like not
nice grip.
Yeah. With like a little arrow leading into it. You know, that warms my heart so very much. Cause that's like, sorry, Heather, I'm not sure if you were about to say something, but I'm jumping in anyways. Okay, cool.
You're good.
Because I agree. So much of the wedding advice out there is so surface level. It's like, well, if you do this invitation company instead of this invitation company, you'll save $20. And it's like, no, we need to talk about real hardcore crap that we can cut out of this, so a couple can really enjoy their day and not go over budget. Like, what is it that we can actually do? And how can we be more transparent with this pricing? Because what is it? 90% of statistics are made up on the spot, but Heather, what was the number? It's like 70 to 80% of couples get married without any sort of planner at all whatsoever.
Yeah, it's around 70% from what I've seen online, but who knows if we can believe what's online.
Yeah, I mean, you can't trust the internet, but if we're to believe it's somewhere near that number, we're talking about 3/4 of the population, right? That is a more budgeted bracket. So I am so humbled and so overwhelmed that like hit home for you and felt like that gave you permission to like let go of some of this extra stuff. That's exactly why we do what we do.
I feel like a lot of wedding media tells you what to buy, but not how to do things, right?
Or yes. Sorry.
You're right. It's all like, here's a listicle and here are things that you need to buy in order to make your wedding awesome, right? Instead of tangible next steps, like how your channel offers, like tangible things that folks can do to, again, be honest with themselves in terms of their budget and the kind of wedding that they want.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing Jamie has going in that realm is the focus on priorities. And I think that's the thing that I always would focus on when talking to couples on budgets. It's like, you need to figure out what's important to you. If you have been dreaming about these beautiful, special favors your whole life, and that is something that is a big deal to you, sure, do them. But maybe you cut something else. Maybe you don't do a cake and you just don't. And it's not important to you and you skip it. So if you're really focused on priorities, instead of cutting with like a tiny little pair of like nail clippers to trim your budget, you can like take a machete in there and just like hack away the whole sections, because it's really what you need to do when you're working on that sort of budget. Like, you can't hire professionals for all these different parts of the event when you're working on that budget. So you have to get creative, but it's totally doable and it can be really empowering and like cool experience when you actually make something really special and unique come together, and it's on budget too. On that note, you had an epic wedding. I mentioned that it was on the blog, but I feel like we need to talk about it a little, because it was like literally one of the most unique weddings. And like, your personality was shining so strong in this wedding. Okay, tell us about it. Just give us a quick rundown.
So I should start with saying that this wedding was like hugely influenced by Offbeat Bride, just like my years of reading articles and pinning content from Offbeat Bride, and feeling like this blog gave me permission to really look outside the box. So my husband and I are screenwriters. We met in film school. And prior to that, I was a theater kid. So I have a very like, you know, theatrical, dramatic streak running through me. And I really love experimental theater and experimental comedy. So my big girl job, as I like to say, is I'm a professor of screenwriting and sketch comedy. So I wanted to be able to incorporate like an element of storytelling into our wedding. And Offbeat Bride had a lot of really wonderful examples of like how to go about doing things in a way that were fun, but also like just true to me. And it was so cool to like go through the blog and be like, oh my God, you can take shots at the altar. That's a thing. You can do a play at your wedding.
What?
You can sketch comedy show. So that really influenced a lot of it. And we decided we wanted to do, instead of a traditional ceremony, we wanted to do a sketch comedy improv show for our ceremony and then end it with a traditional like walk down the aisle and have the officiant there and all that. So
are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you the coolest person we've ever had on this podcast? And why am I just improv sketch comedy? Seriously? I'm sorry. Please go on. What? No. The heck?
Yeah. It's so there's a theater company in Chicago called the Neo Futurists. And so the ceremony was sort of inspired by that, where there was like a line, a clothing line of numbers. And basically the audience, our guests would call out a number. And one person in our wedding party would grab a number, say number 3. And on the back of the sheet, it would say cake eating contest. So now we had to have like both sides of the aisles like pit against each other and like try to finish eating a cake. We got 2 cakes and we were like, ready, set, go. And we didn't explain it. We were just like, you're going to be eating this cake and you have to beat each other. So no. We had a cake eating contest in lieu of like a traditional cake cutting the reception. They did my wedding party. They're all performers. They're all singers and actors in the film industry, et cetera. And they did like improv scenes based on like stories about Anthony and mine's life. Like Anthony and I would go tell a story and then my friends would like improvise like a whole set based on that little tiny story I said. So a lot of really funky elements. Oh, there was a moment, I actually have this video on my Instagram. We psyched out the guests and we made them think that I was gonna come down the aisle, that the processional was starting, but all the bridesmaids made it to the front. And then my friend in a dinosaur costume came out and walked down the aisle. So we like psyched everyone out. We like Rickrolled them. Then we had like the traditional, of course, like have the legal part of it, the officiating us, et cetera. So
now did the friends stay in the dinosaur costume though?
It was a hot.
This has got to be the coolest sounding wedding I've ever heard of in my entire life. Like no offense, like, even the ones I planned and I get really excited about. How on earth, like what an incredible way to share your love and also break all of those traditions that didn't resonate with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it, you know, Heather actually brought up a good point is like priorities. Like we made a list of things that like were important to us and things that people wouldn't remember after the wedding was over. Like that was important to us, is we wanted our guests to have an experience and feel like they were part of it as opposed to being voyeurs, which is why we decided to go the experimental interactive theater route with our wedding. Because if you think about it, a wedding is a lot like a play, right? Or like a movie. Like you invite your guests, they all watch you get married, and they're just sort of like sitting there and watching the experience. But we wanted our guests to actually be a part of the experience and feel like they could leave and say like, I contributed in this way, or, you know, I got cake smashed into my face and that's something that they won't forget. And even now, our wedding was in 2019. I love hearing from my friends, like that was seriously like the best wedding ever, right? Like to hear like years later, like that people still remember elements of it. But sorry, I went on a tangent, but to Heather's point, we like the way we did this on a 5K budget was literally list out things that were important to us. We knew that we wanted to do a theater show. We knew that we didn't want to do a first dance. We knew that we didn't want a massive cake. We knew that we wanted all of our guests to participate in like a Thai like ceremony tradition. So like by listing out things that we were like, we cannot have this wedding without this happening. Mm-hmm. And this is going to help us feel like fulfilled, like years down the line when we're reminiscing on our wedding, we were able to like really carve out a budget and like set like clear goals and priorities and execute on all of them, because we did so much prioritizing and pre-planning and listing in the pre-production process.
We interrupt this podcast because there is something extremely special that I want to share with you guys. I don't know about you, but for the last
who knows how many years, I've been using a Frankensteined, Googled, copied and pasted contract. And while that is extremely embarrassing to admit to all of our listeners, I know that there are people out there who feel the same as I do. And there were a couple things that kept me from actually getting an attorney-drafted contract. Actually, no, there was one thing. It was so expensive, and it seemed so out of reach. That's when I learned about Legally Set. You see, Kunbi with Legally Set has created industry-specific contracts for people like you and me working in the wedding industry. They're easy to customize. They're drafted by an actual attorney and not Google. Can you imagine that? And last but not least, they are so extremely affordable. So if you were like me and maybe using a less than appropriate and or legal contract, it's time to step up your game. You have no more excuses. Head on over to theunionpodcast.com/legallyset to check them out.
In the pre-production process, the drama kid comes out.
We treated this a lot like a film production too. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. Now I was going to ask, I'm so sorry, Heather. I'm just like, good. I'm just so excited. You knew about this and you held out. So
I know. I that's why I told you. I'm like, this is going to be a good one. I've been so excited trying to get Zuki on here, and we've been emailing for months, and finally we're like, found a date. We're doing
it. So first of all, just for the record, if you ever do a vow renewal and do not invite me, I will be ticked. I would like to witness this in person, should you be so inclined, please, and thank you. And second of all, that was going to be my next question, was what was the guest response like? Did you warn any of them what they were walking into? Or was it just like, surprise, nothing's going to be what you expect and you're going to love every minute? Like, what was their response?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we did online invitations because budget, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we used With Joy and we sent out online invitations, and we, on our invitation and our wedding website, we explained like, listen, things are not going to be traditional. So come with an open mind and an open heart. So setting, you know, the parameters there up front. And then as folks walked into the venue, we actually had these like programs printed that was like a layout of like what was going to happen. So nobody was caught off guard. And I think everyone there sort of knew that like weird things were going to happen, but they weren't sure exactly what. Additionally, I think this might also be helpful if there are any couples listening. It really helped to have the wedding party set the tone. So something that was important to us is to have our wedding party interacting with the guests and mingling with the guests like prior to the ceremony. Because I think oftentimes when you go to weddings, it's like the wedding party is like separate from like the guests and no one really knows who's who. So we asked the wedding party like, hey, like just, you know, introduce yourselves, like be friendly. And so people came into it feeling comfortable and like ready to be vulnerable and felt like they were experiencing this with like a community and friends versus, again, coming into a wedding, maybe you don't really know the bride and groom and you're just like sitting there observing the whole thing. Like now they feel like they're part of the family, which is one of our priorities, right? We wanted everyone to feel like they were part of something.
Oh, yes. That is very smart. I always recommend the couples to encourage their wedding party to take the role they need them to take. And whether that's like they want a big dance party. So it's like you tell your wedding party, one of your jobs is you better be on the dance floor for like three songs straight to get the crowd going. Then you can go sit and rest when everybody's already out there. But it's like you can have them totally set the tone and get the energy going a certain way. And I think that's one of the roles people forget about with their wedding party. They're so focused on like these gifts and the photos and the look and the this and the that. But it's like, it's really the special group of people who contribute to the energy of that day. They're kind of like the first couple dominoes to knock over to kind of get the momentum going the direction you want. And
you are the queen of word pictures today.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Must have been some good coffee I had this morning. But yeah, I really love that you use them in that creative way to really set the tone for people to be ready for something so unique. You are obviously a very creative person. How do you get that creative energy flowing like in your life? Do you have other creative projects you're doing outside of these things? Or I mean, seems like your work's pretty creative in itself. So you might be kind of tapped out by the end of the day.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, I am a little tapped out. So like I said, I am a professor and I teach screenwriting and sketch comedy, but I also write video content. So I basically write the scripts that content creators use for YouTube and various other social channels. So very similar to what Jamie's videos look like on YouTube. Like those are the types of videos that I script for other content creators. So
I didn't even know that was a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the videos you see on social media are scripted or have like a massive like production team behind them.
My whole life is a lie.
Yeah. Amy, who's your production team and your scriptwriters?
You're looking at her. You know that like Full House audio that people use like on TikTok, and it's like, you know, social media director, writer, like that's me. That's
I love that the reel that's going around that's like, hey, hey, hey. And it's like all these different professionals that are just doing the same job. I love it. But yes, that is a job of writing content for content creators to use. And also a lot of my work is on social media, right? Mm-hmm. So my job is to curate like really well scripted videos that are going to convert audiences on social media. And by the end of the day, when I'm looking at my own personal Instagram account or when I'm on TubeBuckChuckBride, I am just like word vomiting like creativity. Like I don't really think or process things the way that you should, or I don't have like an intent. Like my goal isn't to like drive click through on any of my personal content. So I have like really like ugly stuff on there and I don't care. There's a meme that I love that's like social media manager's client's account. And it's like a really beautiful picture of Elmo. And then it's like social media manager's like personal account. And it's like Elmo on fire. That's me. That's my personal account.
That's my personal account as well. And I don't manage anyone's social media.
I feel like it's okay. Like I feel like everyone should have an outlet where they can just word vom, right? Yeah. Like whatever that is, whether you're painting or posting on social media or writing, like you should be allowed to like do ugly stuff and like just like get it out of you, right? But I feel like I love all my jobs so much that I never feel like, oh, I'm being taken away from like creating my own creative pursuits. Like I'm really passionate about educating. I'm really passionate about like helping folks, you know, change their thought process around the wedding industry. So like when I am teaching or when I'm writing for Offbeat Bride, I really feel like I'm doing something that like matters, that's like going to contribute to other folks. So that's super fulfilling to me.
But I think it's so cool that it's like, because as a fellow creative, if it's not being released a little bit, it almost like it starts to grate on you a little bit. Like we've lived in this house for over a year and there are areas that I'm dying to decorate. Like I can't wait. I took my husband to Home Depot yesterday. I'm like, we're buying this. He's like, I don't have time. And I was like, you're disrespectful. That's what you are. That's what just happened. But you hit this point where you're like, I got to get it out. I got to get it out. Or I want to create something or I want to do something. But to be in a position where you are so fulfilled by all of these different roles, which also I don't know how you manage that many jobs.
And this that's a lot of jobs.
That's a lot of jobs. I was doing the math and I'm pretty sure you don't sleep. In my head, math, I was like, yeah, that's 80 hours of work there, right there. But to have all of these jobs fill you in all of these different capacities, I think that's what a great place to be in, you know, and how great that Offbeat Bride reached out and that you now get to do that in a professional capacity as well. Instead of someone who's just spoken to you for so long and like whispered in your ear or shared or held your hand through this whole entire journey, like to now be employed by them. Like, right. What a great full circle moment for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like mixing my experience. And I think, you know, a lot of wedding planners come in with like a variety of experience. Like I met a wedding planner who was a lawyer previously and was like, I don't want a lawyer anymore. I want to help people plan weddings. But my experience in like, you know, the creative and entertainment industry and marketing and academia have like really set me up to be in an interesting position where, you know, maybe I'm not like a professional, like what, like I'm not offering like services, but I am helping like change like the landscape of like wedding media, which is super important to me.
Oh, that's so awesome. Suki, you have been an absolute delight and I would love for everyone else to relish in your delightfulness. Where can they find you on the interwebs? Where should they follow you?
Well, I am going to push at Offbeat Bride.
There you go.
All the copy there is my copy. All the weddings there I have handpicked because I think that they are beautiful weddings that everyone should see. And then my personal account, which will be doing more content around culture and money and traditions, is the number two Buckchuck Bride.
That's perfect. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us. I love seeing a fellow budget-minded wedding person on here. We're so grateful that you just came and shared a little bit of your joy with us here today. You're delightful.
I'm so glad we made this happen.
My two favorite folks in the wedding industry. I was so honored to be here.
You well, stop it.
You're one of our favorites. So. It's awesome. And yeah, everybody go give her a follow, Offbeat Bride. I'm sure you guys all know that one already, but now you know someone that's behind the magic over there. So thank you all for listening today.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag at Union Podcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.